Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
It's Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Hour number two, Felger and Maserati. Marshall Hook in for Maz, Matt McCarthy in the update studio here in our brand new, beautiful Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester at Beasley Communications. So if you're watching on the simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, which has followed us here to the new facility, you're seeing our beautiful new digs, and it is a wonderful, beautiful facility. It really is. It's a little uncomfortable. It's so nice. I'm afraid it's so nice. I'm afraid to even wipe down. I mean, get something moist. You get something a little too wet, a little too, get put too much schputz on it, I'm going to ruin something. So, like, I don't even want to.
It'll never be cleaner than it is right now.
It'll never. So enjoy it while it lasts. But either way, welcome back to the program. Maz and Murray up at our company golf outing. We continue with your thoughts on the Red Sox. We got some other things to get to throughout the course of the day, but let's just finish up these phone calls. Eric and Revere, Jimmy, if you could, for me on line two.
You're right now.
Felger and Hook. Go ahead, Eric.
How you doing, guys?
Good. What do you got?
I think we should bring Johnny Lester home. I don't know if it's going to take the money and stuff, but
why would the Cubs give him up, Eric?
Pitching wins. Swihart, Pedroia.
Okay, let me stop it. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Cubs are in first place.
Yes, thank you very much. How about Peter in Acton? Let's go to Peter in Acton on line three, and I'm going to push right from the table if these phones continue to suck as bad as they have sucked. We got one good call out of 10. Peter in Acton, go.
Hey, Felger. How you doing?
Good.
Why do you think the Red Sox are going to struggle so much in the playoffs? I mean, like, don't you think they have to prove themselves a little bit?
Talk to these two. These two think they're going to struggle in
the
playoffs.
How have they improved their pitching is my question.
I mean, David Price, ever since he's come here, the fans have shown him nothing but criticism. You think you give him a little bit of faith and he could deliver maybe?
So thank you for the call, Peter. I appreciate it. Should you have faith in this team? That's all he's saying. Faith.
Well, now he's specifically asking if we should have faith in David Price.
Yes, should you?
Because all he's done since he got here, if I can quote him, was deliver. Does anyone have his pitching statistics from last postseason? What do those look like? I'm pretty sure they're not good. So if you mean deliver succitude in the postseason as he has in every stop before this, then yes, absolutely, David Price has delivered.
Jimmy Stewart, when you say they aren't built for the postseason, what do you mean specifically?
I mean, name me a starting pitcher who has a win in the postseason.
So that's it.
Name me a position player, a lineup piece that has a clutch hit in the postseason.
Okay. Are you really doubtful of the lineup?
Yes.
You are.
Because in the postseason, generally speaking, pitching wins and clutch hitting wins. Who on this team has a clutch postseason hit?
Okay, so Mookie Betts up with runners on base in a two-out RBI situation in the playoffs. You don't have much faith in him?
Chapman strikes him out.
Oh, come on.
To be fair.
See, I mean, even guys, so there are guys on the team who may not have a big postseason track record, that you should, if you're being fair, have faith in. Sale is one of them. Betts is another one.
Sale, who I love. How many postseason wins does he have?
How many starts does he have?
One.
Come on, that's not fair.
How do you pitch in that one?
Okay, not
you
great.
You asked who was more negative than me. I think you found your answer.
No, maybe. It's tough.
I mean, I'm giving all the credit in the world to the lineup. I have no fear for the lineup. If they run into another team that has no starting pitcher or has a single starting pitcher like the Red Sox, then yeah, the Red Sox can win that series. They can beat them up night in and night out.
How do you feel about your closer?
Oh, I got no problems with him.
Okay, see, that's another one who, if you want to go look at his postseason track record or his October track record, I think you can poke some holes in it statistically. And I don't love him because I think he frustrates me when he struggles in four out saves or you know, doesn't have a save situation.
About okay, but hold four on, hold, and five out saves.
Hold on. So this is all a long way of saying I still have confidence in him. He's a supremely talented guy. You've got to. And again, I can poke holes in Craig Kimbrel, but that's somebody, if you're being fair. Now, he's been here, you know, 2 years, and he's, you know, he has been good from the day he got here. So is Sale. You know, like those guys, they may not have a great postseason track record, but you're telling me you don't feel good about that core, your ace, your closer, the middle of your lineup in the playoffs. You don't feel good about those things?
No. Okay, so playoff series.
I feel perfectly fine with those guys.
Playoff series. Who are you taking, the Red Sox or the Astros?
Astros.
Hook?
Yeah, well, Astros.
Michael?
Can we get to October before I handicap that series? I think you're right there. I think you're right there.
Yankees or Red Sox?
You're right there. Those
Hook?
Are... five or seven
Yankees?
Game series.
Yeah, probably.
Matt?
Yeah.
Yankees or Red Sox?
It's
Red
Sox. It's stupid to predict prediction radio. It's stupid to predict something 3 months ahead of time. It's silly.
He's so scared to have an opinion against the Red Sox right now. Who got to you, Michael?
I think they're right there. I think they're right there. I mean, I can't tell. Are you going to tell me what that's going to look like 3 months from now? You serious?
Yes, because they have a track record of sucking in the playoffs.
I think they're right there. Let's go to David in New Hampshire on line one. He's been waiting patiently. David, thanks for hanging on. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, the it factor that you were talking about, I saw it, or I felt it. That's when Betts hit that grand slam. That's when I felt that it factor you were talking about. I finally felt like, okay, this is real. when I turned on MLB the next morning, they played back the grand slam, and they played back Eckersley calling it, and they played back Eckersley's line of, it's party time.
So, David, that got you excited, right? Like, and Dave, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's where you felt like it was real in terms of your interest in the team, your belief in the team. Like, they've had a lot of moments like that, a lot of great wins, where you look at them and go, they got something going on. I believe in this team. I feel good about this. This is
for the regular season.
This is fun. This is exciting.
It is fun. Regular season baseball, fun.
Were you one of those guys that got sucked in by the Bruins, too? Because a lot of you all did. A lot of you all did. A lot of media people in this town were picking up. Oh, they're winning the cup. They're winning the cup as they come back. We have a three-goal comeback against Carolina in the regular season. They had all those. You know, they had about a dozen regular season wins that were, like, exciting, clutch, good wins. And you're like, boy, they got the it factor. Yeah, I heard that about the Bruins all spring. They've got the it factor. Then they faced a team that was much better than them, and all their flaws were exposed, and they were rubbed out in five games. It wasn't even competitive. And that's my yeah, but with the Red Sox. That as good as that Bookie Betts grand slam felt, or Bogarts over the weekend again, what does that mean? I don't know. What does that mean? Cora giving him a different mindset versus Farrell, I think that's a factor, should be a factor. But it's not going to be the factor if you still have those fatal flaws in the postseason. Let's take one more of this segment. Jimmy, line four, Phil in Malden on the Eddie Rodriguez injury. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. The injury to Rodriguez, I think that it should have been basic fundamental baseball. He should have been, second baseman should have been covering that ball.
Yeah, sure. Was that a tapper to first or was that a bunt? Thanks for the call. I can't remember exactly how that happened. The second baseman should have been covering first base? Huh? What? I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it again. I saw the spill. I don't remember the setup to it. Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Either way, you think that's a big injury, Hook?
I do.
And I'll tell you what. It's a 4.5 game lead over the Yankees. They have a million game lead in the wild card. So, like, I don't know if I'm worried about those things. But the pitching, if this were a tighter race, I'd feel sketchy about that pitching. Because Porcello has sucked for the last handful. Price sucked for that last handful before the one before. Now Eddie Rodriguez is done. Now it's Brian, Wright can't get back. Pomeranz can't get back. So it's like, I feel like they've sort of been skating by with suspect pitching or suspect guys out on the mound. And in normal years with normal teams, that would catch up. I just don't know if it will this year. But that's a thing. They have not pitched well for a little bit.
No, they haven't. And I'm here to issue a correction. David Price last year in the postseason actually was good.
As a reliever, yes. Mm-hmm.
As a reliever. I don't think the team has the sack to put him in the bullpen. It was the year before, which, if I'm being fair, is what I'm referring to, where he once again blew in a start. If you told me going into the postseason that I now have Chris Sale as my ace and David Price as a reliever and Craig Kimbrel as my closer, I'm suddenly feeling a little bit better.
Okay.
I don't know if I totally disagree with that either, Hook, but Price is still my number two guy. Because, again, you go by talent, and you just hope they hit their talent, that you hope that they pitch to their talent. And Price is the second most talent on the team. He should be your number two guy. That's what he is. That's how he's paid.
Good luck.
You're sinking or swimming with that, Hook.
You're 0-1 to start the postseason.
You're sinking.
That's the bet that you made. Coming up next, it is All-Star Weekend. I have a dramatic idea for All-Star games in all sports, which we'll get to right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
How do you feel about the All-Star game, Hook?
I like it.
Oh, you like it?
I do.
So that you like.
I like it.
You
now
hate
that...
this Red Sox team, which is like the best Red Sox team ever.
I mean.
But the All-Star game you like.
I don't love it. I like it, though. But
you
I
like
it more now that they don't take it seriously, now that it doesn't count. The All-Star game, when it counted, I don't like. I'd still like them to have a little more fun. I'd like to have it be what it used to be when they really looked like they were having fun, kind of after Pete Rose left, but. Yeah, I like it. And relative to the other All-Star games, it's clearly the best.
It sucks! It's useless!
It's more useful than the other three.
They all suck. They're all useless. They should abolish them all. Abolish them all. I spend very little time on All-Star game talk because it's just so freaking useless. But I'll just take a few minutes to enumerate the issue.
All right.
And that is Hook.
Yeah.
If you have anyone good, do you even want them playing in it?
Oh, gosh, no.
Like, don't you want...
I want the pro ball. I want Major League Baseball players to treat it like football players treat the pro ball.
If your team's good and you've got to play in the All-Star game, you know what? You don't even want them to play.
Chris Sale's starting.
And don't you hate it?
I do.
Don't you hate it? And if you have a slugger and he's in the home run derby, don't you hate it? Like, aren't you as a fan... rooting again, hoping your player turns down the home run derby, your pitcher turns down pitching the All-Star game. What good is that game if you don't even want your guys in it? All-Star games were started in all these sports, but just start with baseball, right? They were started in a bygone era. It's the whole notion is antiquated to begin with. You started All-Star games back in the day when games weren't televised every day or there was no interleague play. And, you know, you didn't get to see these guys. And it was like one of your few chances to see these guys, even when I was a kid in the 70s. Okay. So like, you know, even at that point, every game wasn't on television. There was no interleague play. And there was something special about seeing these guys on the same field and playing. And it just made sense from that standpoint. Now, every game's on TV. Every highlight's on ESPN. You play every team, so you see every player. We just saw Bryce Harper. We don't need to watch tonight or tomorrow night to see Bryce Harper. You just saw him. So it's like when the All-Star games were big and starting, you needed that game. It was, you know, that was your chance to see the other league, to see the other players, to see all the stars, and to see something special. Now we see it every night. You don't need it. They're useless, useless. They're useless in every sport. So useless that you don't even want your players to play in them. And you know you don't. You want Chris Sale starting in this game? And that's officially starting the game?
Yes.
Yeah. That's horrible. And you know that's horrible. Like, you don't want him to pitch. So, like, I even wonder, what's the value of these games anymore for these leagues? Do they draw enough to justify the TV money? They must, I guess. I don't know. Why do we even do it? Why do we bother with it? No one, they suck. It sucks. It
See,
does.
I
hate the interruption in the calendar. I hate that there's no games. I hate that this is the only thing out there, and I have zero use for it. And they all know it because now it's like as important as the game itself are these skills competitions in everything. Right now, the home run derby is almost bigger than the game. In hockey, they do all the skills competitions the night before. They play that up. The dunk contest in basketball, it's like, what are we doing? They should abolish them all. Abolish them all. And if the players still demand that break, you know, that halftime break or the school recess or whatever, they need a couple days, give them a couple days. And we'll all, whatever, we'll all get on with our lives and watch Netflix for 3 days. I don't know. It's what you do anyway. But it's like, oh, I think they're so useless, and it's to the point where they should abolish all of these games.
Some of the problems that you ascribe to the All-Star game,
why do we do it?
Well, like, here's the thing. I hate the fact that there's interleague play every single night. I hate the fact that they decided they needed to balance the leagues and thereby create an odd number in both. And that's why we have interleague play every single night. Because if you didn't have interleague play every single night, well, then the All-Star game would be a little bit more interesting because you'd see those guys playing. If you didn't have interleague play at all, the All-Star game would be a little more interesting. So I don't blame the All-Star game because it's the same as it's always been. I blame the changes that baseball made everywhere else that have thereby watered down the All-Star game.
I just think it's so antiquated. It's a different time. We don't need the game to see the stars. You used to need the game to see the stars all on the field, you know, in person or even on TV. And
now, I think there is a value to them playing together on one team.
I don't.
I do. I do think that when you put together a lineup where all of these guys are hitting back to back, and I don't know what the lineup's going to be, but, you know, Aaron Judge hitting behind J.D. Martinez, hitting in front of whoever, that to me is interesting. That to me is interesting for one night.
So useless.
If they have a little fun with it, and if those guys go out there and they're smiling and they're playing around and all of that, and you would have less concern about, say, Chris Sale, if there weren't this notion that you had to take it so seriously. Like if Chris Sale could just go out there and have fun and pitch his one or two innings, then you wouldn't really worry about it.
Doesn't Chris Sale being in this game just in the back of your mind scare the crap out of you?
Of course.
So why are we doing these games?
But by the way, why do we do this? It's also only bothersome to you when your team is in contention. Like the years that the Red Sox sucked, which were a lot of them, well, the All-Star game had a completely different vibe. Then you wanted your guy in there because you'd be like, yeah, we got one guy who made that team, you know, and that's a value to.
Why do we have it? Why do we do it? What's the point? Because again, there used to be a point.
It's a showcase. It's a showcase for the sport. It's a showcase for the best players. And listen, I work in a place where all day long I take phone calls from old people who don't have computers.
Which is where? People who don't know, where do you work?
Channel 7, TV station. There are still huge mass number of people watching TV who don't see everything every night. Now, they're slowly dying off. That may be true, but they're still out there.
So your great aunt Millie? Yeah, this is a big night for her. This is exactly my point. Why do we do this? Does the game need a showcase?
I think it does. I mean, baseball more than any. Baseball is the one that's losing the fans, and I don't know that the All-Star game is getting any of them back, but the absence of it certainly isn't going to get anyone back.
I mean,
shutting down the sport for 4 nights? Yeah, that's a way to get fans in.
I think what the sport needs desperately is Baseball Tonight back on ESPN, a nightly highlight show.
Yes.
Like, that's what they need more than anything. You want to showcase it, showcase that. I don't know. I don't feel like there's no longer need to see guys you never see. There's no longer need to see guys play together or against each other who never play against each other because now everyone plays against each other. There's just that whole, you know, you got to see the start. We see them every night. Maybe a little less because there is no that Baseball Tonight show is gone. That franchise is gone. It's like, so maybe there is a little bit more of a need, but it's just, what? I need to see LeBron face off against Steph Curry in the All-Star game? I see that every spring.
Well, again,
what's
that's
the point
a different
of that?
Sport.
I need to see Ovechkin and Crosby go against each other in the All-Star game. I see that
those sports
four
play
times
each other
a year.
All over the
exactly.
place. And so, that's what baseball did, and that's where your beef, I think, is with what they do during the regular season that has ruined the All-Star game because the All-Star game hasn't changed.
I just don't know why we do it. Why do we do it? What's the point of this? What's it for? What's it for? What point does it serve? I mean, I was one of the few that didn't mind that this time it counts.
No,
the whole thing with the game one world, you know, the World Series home field advantage. At least there is there is a reason to watch it. Now what's
really?
My reason?
I mean, that made you, oh, well, yes, I'm going to tune in now because some crappy player from Kansas City may decide who amongst the Red Sox and St. Louis Cardinals plays where. No, that was the most asinine thing.
So
that
asinine.
Was insane. And by the way,
but it actually
still,
did count.
No, but nobody
dumb,
cared.
But it actually,
still,
made, but it
the,
actually
the
had
notion
a cause
that,
and effect.
That these
why should I watch this game?
On non-playoff teams are deciding where playoff teams will play at the end of the year. That was asinine.
Asinine, but I'm telling you, it gave you a reason to watch.
It didn't, though. I fundamentally disagree.
What's my reason now?
Because it's fun.
Oh, it's not. It's still baseball. I'm sorry. It's still baseball.
All right.
And for that sport to really hold you, it's got to be your team or it's got to be something on the line.
I mean, you've got a lineup that has potentially those guys from all the, you know, we talk about the guy who's at bat, you stay to watch. That's the entire lineup
okay,
for both teams.
So you want Chris Sale. You want Chris Sale doing what Pedro did, whatever year that was.
1999.
Yes. Yeah, unloading to strike out, you know, Harper and all these guys back-to-back to put up a good show and then blow out his arm. You want them?
Again, ideally, I don't want my starting pitcher. I'm
exactly.
More on so the like, offensive side.
Yet you love the game. You love the game so much you don't want your best player on your favorite team to play in it.
Well, yeah.
Why are we having a game where you don't want your best player on your favorite team to even play the game?
Are you worried that J.D. Martinez will get hurt?
Yeah, well, no. But
all right. Well, so we're talking about two different things.
I'm thrilled he's not doing the Home Run Derby. He's still not doing that, right? Like, I don't even pay attention to this crap, and I've got a whole rant for it. Like, he's not. So I'm thrilled about that. And I don't care what the numbers show. I know that there's some stats out there that show you that the Home Run Derby doesn't really hurt you.
Aaron Judge went homerless for like 20 games after the Home Run Derby last year.
In my head, I feel like I want nothing. If I've got a slugger, I want him to have nowhere near that thing. Stay away from that bad habit. You try and yank everything. You get used to those little golf balls, whatever. Whether you can statistically back that feeling up or not, I have that feeling. I want my slugger nowhere near the Home Run Derby. I want my pitcher nowhere near the mound in this game. And as a position player taking an at-bat or two, I could give two wet poops about that. And so I just ask you again, folks, if you don't want your best player on your favorite team to play this game, why do we play this game?
If they're a starting pitcher.
Why do we play this game?
I don't mind the hitters playing.
Oh, my God. So abolish. I would abolish them all. That's my all-star game thought.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. It's Felger and Mass. We got Marshall Hook in for Mass. Matt McCarthy in our update studios for Big Jim Murray. Stu, let's go back to the phones. Let's do Alan in Florida on line four on Sale in the all-star game. Go ahead, Alan. Hello, Alan. Are you there? All right, you can pop him down. Maybe it's an Allen thing. You want to try one more, Jimmy? Okay. How about Rich in East Bridgewater on line three? You're up next with Felger and Hook. Rich, go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Long time. Love you guys. I can't believe that you're upset with McCarthy, Hook, and Jimmy Stewart about the Red Sox pitching. For this simple reason, last year, Porcello was Porcello. He's reverted to Porcello. I can't believe that, Mike, you said it earlier. You used the exact same word, reverted. He's the same pitcher now that he was last year. Here's the second problem. Sale, last year in the playoffs, lost the first game and also was the instrumental guy that lost the fourth game.
So, Rich, let me just ask you generically. Do you have faith in Chris Sale?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I do.
So there you go. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Even though he doesn't have a track record, he's just that good that you have to have faith in that player.
I do. I really do. But last year, not so great. Okay, on the second part, Swihart, the worst player in the history of the Red Sox, throws the ball 15 feet behind Rodriguez, causing him to have the injury out maybe for the season. And
Jim, you can let him go.
Blake Swihart is the worst player in the history of the Red Sox.
I mean, that's a little strong. But the Eddie Rodriguez thing, again, if the playoffs started tonight, he would have been your second starter.
He would have been. I mean, who would you have put in his place? Who is
Price?
Been more...
David Price.
Why?
Because he's your second best pitcher.
No,
that's why.
No.
He is.
Okay.
He has your second best stuff. I'm not pitching him because of the contract, but I'm sort of lumping it in there. That's what he is. It's what he's paid to be. He's a Cy Young guy. You've got three Cy Young guys. They go 1-2-3.
Okay.
And that's
good luck. I hope you enjoy the first round because that's all you're getting.
But you know what? That's how your team is built. You can't rebuild your team. That's the way your team is built. You have two aces. You have a third guy that won a Cy in Porcello, and that's it. And they make all your money. And those are your three starters. And that's it.
That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
No, it's not. It's how you're constructed.
Okay, but let's look at actual recent history. Let's look at actual statistics. David Price does not deserve to be the second starter in the postseason.
Every dog has his day, Hook.
Okay.
Every dog. I mean, but if I'm the Red Sox, that's sort of my approach.
What I love is that you're the guy who's telling me
that we can't genetically re-engineer our roster. We can't genetically re-engineer David Price. He makes $31 million a year. He's a Cy Young guy who's an excellent pitcher who's been there. And even though he hasn't done it, we've got to hope that he does it because that's what we're paying him to do, and that's what he is.
All right, let's live in the fantasy world for a moment. Let's say that Jackie Bradley Jr., who despite how bad he's been this year, he actually started in the ninth spot, I'm pretty sure. He was there. Let's say that halfway through the season, he has put up J.D. Martinez numbers. Do you leave him in the ninth spot because that's where he started? Well, he's your ninth hitter.
Yes,
that's the way the team
actually
was built.
I would never move Jackie Bradley from the ninth spot. Never mind when he's on like a 29-game hitting streak. Remember when Dingleberry did that a couple years ago, suddenly bat him leadoff and there goes the hitting streak? No, I keep him exactly where he is.
Okay.
No matter what he's hitting, because as soon as you tell Jackie Bradley he's not a number nine hitter, then he gets delusions of grandeur.
Well, then maybe the opposite is true. Maybe as soon as you tell David Price he's not your number two pitcher, he actually gets good. If you say, David Price, you know what, you're a fifth starter, you're a fourth starter, maybe we'll give you one start in the postseason. Maybe then he relaxes and says, you know what? This isn't all about me. It isn't all on me. Maybe then he could actually pitch in the postseason as a starter in a way that's valuable to somebody other than the opposition.
How about Zip and Dudley on the Red Sox? Hi, Zip. What do you got?
I want to just talk about the All-Star game. I think it's a waste as far as the players are concerned. They need the rest more than anything else. It's a fan thing. So come in with the votes. Say, this guy's an all-star, let it go with that, give the players the rest. As far as the Sox season, who the heck could predict they'd be that good, or this good, you know, with all their pitching problems? Everybody has their pitching problems. The Sox are special this year. They will go all the way. Swihart is their worst infielder. Swihart hurt Rodriguez. He should have never fielded that ball. It was second baseman's ball with no problem.
Okay, Zip, thanks for the call again. So it's who fielded the ball. Okay, so either way, this feeling that the Red Sox are special, Matt, you said this earlier before I showed up, that you're feeling that too. And obviously people are feeling that. Does that mean anything to you? I mean, other than it's just people are now excited because they're winning in this fashion. They look as good as they do. But do you think there's something so really different about the team that's going to be tangible in October?
It means something to me for the regular season that I can get invested in this team and really love watching this team. But when it comes right down to it, Mike, in October, I can see the flaws in this team from a mile away. And 2013, they had the it factor, right? But that carried them to a World Series title. This team is more flawed than that team. Maybe they have more high-end talent, but when we're going to compare it to that team, the team with the it factor, they're way more flawed. I can't overlook the flaws on this team, no matter how fun and enjoyable they've been, no matter how many games they're going to win this year.
Mike and Jimmy, if you could, line 7, Mike and Somerville up next with Felger, Hook, and Matt McCarthy. Yes, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, so I completely understand why you guys don't have faith the last two seasons, like especially that first season, David Ortiz's last season. That was just embarrassing. But I don't think you guys are giving enough credit to the change in managers. Like, what Alex Cora is doing this year is pretty special. I mean, John Farrell, I don't think, would have a team with this record at the All-Star break. I also want to get your guys' thoughts on Drew Pomeranz. Like, what's the deal with him? Is he a one-hit wonder? Because if he's healthy, you have 5 B-plus or just B or better starters in the rotation.
Okay, thanks, Mike. For some reason, Pomeranz is another one that I want to kind of believe in, Hook. I don't know why. When I say edge, I don't know. He's been around, been in a lot of situations. I think he's got decent stuff. I think he's sort of that crafty kind of lefty that.
Where is he?
Oh, he's hurt.
Okay. I don't have a problem with Drew Pomeranz. And yeah, he didn't pitch well this year when healthy. But I was one, unlike, by the way, everyone who sat in, I can't say this studio, but you know, your old studio. You all hated the trade. I was 100% for the Drew Pomeranz trade. I liked him last year. I like him this year. But he's not pitching. He's not there. Give me a healthy Pomeranz who comes back and shows that he's any semblance of what he was before, then I'll feel good about that.
What does the manager mean to you?
Oh, no. Listen, the culture is
better.
Does
it mean anything? Does the manager mean something?
No, it does. It does absolutely mean something.
Does the manager mean something, Jimmy?
100% yes.
Okay. As someone who spent the last 5 years crushing John Farrell, you have to say that Cora means something.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
What does it mean?
So far, regular season. He's helped this team win more regular season games. and he at least has the pedigree of being the bench coach on a championship team. So that helps.
There you go. And I think that a big chunk of this it factor, in fact, comes from him, or at least it starts with him. A completely different feel and vibe to that clubhouse. That's part of what goes into this it factor that you're talking about.
They're having fun. We, regular season fun. Yay. We. Let's see what happens when it comes down to it in October, and when it's not fun and it's serious and it's you need to know X, Y, and Z in depth, and we'll see if they can execute.
Here's the thing, though. They had fun last year. Didn't we all have T-shirts of the stupid dances in the outfield? Oh, listen, I'm going to be the one who dances, and you're going to be the one who plays the little video machine. And let's spend a lot of time during the game talking about what we're going to do if we win rather than just playing the game. That was their version of fun last year. Their version of fun this year is a 10th inning grand slam to win the game. I'll take that version of fun, and I think a lot of that comes from the manager.
Okay, but that doesn't give you any more faith when it matters in October.
No, because that's all offense. That's all offense.
Isn't it attitude? Isn't it comportment? Isn't
yes, because David mindset? Price has really shown to have a different attitude this year, the way he's no longer being butthurt about every single thing that's said about him everywhere. Oh, no, he really seems different.
You know, he's actually exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly the same.
We continue with your thoughts on this. Plus, has replay ruined yet another sport? We get to that in our long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mbappé face à Vida. Oh. Oh,
Kylian Mbappé, ça fait 3 buts d'avance pour les Bleus. Est-ce que c'est terminé? Sans doute pas. Mais elle n'a jamais été aussi proche. Cette deuxième étoile, 65e minute. L'équipe de France mène 4-1. Et en l'espace de 5 minutes, vient peut-être, de terrasser la Croatie. Kylian Mbappé. Dans cette Coupe du Monde. 4-1.
Ah, chirurgical, dès qu'on a une occasion, on l'a transformé. C'est fantastique, fantastique cette efficacité. Là, super bon travail de Lucas Hernandez. Et derrière, avec Kylian qui fait le bon contrôle.
Here's your soccer minute. You guys watch?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We were right here in this room. At least
so you were forced to watch.
Yeah,
you were forced to watch. Did you see the? Did you see the disputed goal? You see the handball that they gave the penalty kick to? How do you feel about that?
I hate it. I hate the fact that they went to replay. I didn't even realize that they had replay in soccer. This is the sport whose clock never stops. Right, the action never stops. And all of a sudden, I mean, I went and I missed it when it was live, but I went and I found the clip of the replay being looked at. I'm like, this doesn't even look like soccer. Like, when you tune in soccer, it's the field. That's all you see for the entire time. You get the occasional shot of like a couple guys on the bench or the coach, whatever. Other than that, you get that wide shot with a couple cut-ins of soccer being played for the entire time.
And that's a good thing. Like, there's a nice sort of flow to that. You like that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, aside from the viewing experience, what does that do to the flow of the game? Because the other thing about soccer is you're not supposed to get a break as a player. It just continues on and on. I mean, how long did that replay take? A couple minutes?
Oh, long.
Are you supposed to get a two-minute breather in the middle of a soccer game? Not to mention the biggest soccer game that's played ever. I mean, the World Cup final. Am I wrong? That's as big as a soccer game gets in this world. The World Cup final. Oh, you know what? We're going to take a couple minutes off here, guys. We're about 35 minutes into the 45-minute. We're just going to take a couple minutes off, and we're going to look at this guy over here in the corner looking at a TV screen. It is just the antithesis of everything that soccer is. As much as I hate replay in pretty much all sports, baseball included, it really doesn't change the flow of a baseball game. It doesn't change the flow of a football game. Those are, you know, moments of activity followed by people standing around in both those sports. Not supposed to be that.
I think replay in baseball and football accentuates the negative flow of both of those sports. In other words, but I mean, I see what you're saying. You're right. Play, stop, play, stop, play, stop. So it contributes to the poor flow of both.
I'm not saying it's good,
right?
But it doesn't materially change the way the game is played.
So I hear you. Your thoughts?
I loved it. They got the call right. Guy's hand is out right there. They got the call right. Isn't that what we want on the biggest stage in the World Cup final? Listen, I'm generally with you, Marshall. I'm generally a less replay in sports type of guy. I watched a lot of the World Cup. I thought VAR was spectacular. They didn't overuse it. They only changed the blatant calls. In these games, they only change the stuff that should be changed.
Matt's right.
And that is exactly what you want from replay.
Except that one.
Why? Because it's the World Cup final?
No, let me tell you why. Because if the player hadn't hit the ball with his hand, if the ball had gone through, what are the odds that that would have been a goal? What are the odds? Go back and watch it. Yeah, we've all seen it a million times. What are the odds that that ball would have gone all the way through to the foot of a French player who would have then delivered the ball and scored?
I can't say I watched it in that light. I need to watch it again.
Go back and look.
Okay.
Okay? There were a ton of bodies down there. I think there were only two French players who had a chance at the ball if it had gone through. They would have had to gone three or four. Basically, the odds of that, if the guy hadn't hit the ball with the hand and the ball had just gone through, they weren't scoring. They weren't scoring. It didn't. It wasn't like there was a wide open guy waiting to deliver at home. If he had, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And to award a penalty kick, which is what, 80%? Do you know what the percentages are on penalty kicks?
Huge.
I'm curious. Huge. What do you think they are?
I don't know.
McCarthy, Google it.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Dancing monkey, get that information seconds ago.
Now, no, not 3 seconds ago. Now.
I'm working. I can only type so fast.
What do you think the percentage is on PKs?
I'm going to go with his 80%. It's probably about 8 out of 10.
That would be my guess. I don't know. It feels like when you get to kicks at the end of the game, there's some weenie with bad hair choking every other kick, so maybe it's lower. I mean, but if you miss that thing, it's a gag. I'm sorry. You should never miss a PK. Feels like they convert. So all I'm saying is,
you basically gave them a free goal.
As much as I hate, like, you know what those penalty kicks are? It's pass interference on steroids, right? Like, there's a 40-yard bomb down the field. There's no way the receiver's going to catch it, but he got grabbed on the way down, and here comes a flag, and now you're spotting the ball 40 yards down the field, or like a PI in the end zone, right? A PI in the end zone, 1 yard line, first and goal at the one. Just give them 7 points. And aren't you frustrated as a fan? It's like, that's too easy. You just gave them 7 points. And it's that on steroids in soccer with the penalty kick. You know, it's just an automatic goal. And so replay was used properly there, and I agree with you, McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Throughout the course of the tournament, it was not overbearing, right? I wasn't sitting there going like, oh, we're going to replay again? Would you get off? You know, yeah. I did not find myself frustrated with it. It was used properly. It was used sparingly. I think they should use it more to clean up the game and get the guys, you know, quit rolling around on the ground, writhing and playing and faking and flopping. And like, I think they could really clean up the game easily.
Love to see that used on Neymar. Oh my God.
Just use it on all those guys who are rolling around on the ground, pretending they've just, you know, been amputated. But either way, like, I think it's been value add for soccer, except that one going to be a goal and you just gave him a goal. So I just sort of hate that. That's how I feel about pass interference in the end zone. It's like, well, just give him the 7 points. Why are you even bothering lining up?
71 to 75% in major international tournaments.
Do you know how bad that is?
Ugh.
Those choking little weenies with stupid hair. Honestly, I go right to the character of the player. What gutless little weenies with stupid hair. You only hit that 70. That's all you do. That's your entire life is kicking that stupid ball. And you ever line up, like, just go walk out to a field and line up? Is it 8 yards? How far is it? What's the kick?
It's 8 to 10, right? Something like that. The box is 18, so it's something like that.
The box is 18? Is it inside the box? Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Just go do it sometime. It's like, you can't possibly miss that.
You've got a lot of real estate versus one guy.
And this
right?
is all you
and
do.
You know where the ball is going. He doesn't.
You're a world-class player, and you only hit that 71 or 75% of the time? Oh, you gutless wiener with bad hair.
3 out of 10 times you're missing that.
That's pathetic. That is what a group of choking dogs those soccer players are. If they can't hit more than that. But either way, that's what's frustrating to me, McCarthy. That's akin to PI in the end zone. Here's the ball on the one-yard line. 7 free points. And that's just... Well, that's a tough one in a championship game like that.
Yeah, well, if you're Croatia, I don't know, why don't you not allow 3 more goals? Like, I know the Croatian coach was complaining after the game, oh, you can't call that. Don't give up 3 other goals.
To be fair, one of them was an own goal. So
that's France.
But so when we hit on the little, so there's your soccer minute. Just to give you some numbers, when we ask, has soccer arrived? I think it's a silly question because I feel like it already has. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just depends what your scope is, what's your standard. In other words, is professional tennis a real sport and a real endeavor?
It seems so.
It is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So
it didn't probably do the numbers the World Cup did.
Basically, not even close. Basically, the World Championship of Tennis was yesterday. Morning. Same deal. Morning match versus morning match. Not exactly at the same time, but, you know, the same rough window. Okay. Sunday morning, middle of the summer. Men's final, and I'll just give you Boston numbers because that's all I care about. I don't know what it did nationally. I don't care what it did in Newport, California. I care what it did here. The men's final, the Wimbledon men's final, did a 1. The World Cup soccer did just under an 8. It did a 7.89. Then I went and asked my guy Maury Levine at NBC Sports Boston, who's followed us here on the simulcast to our new Tom Fertitta Studios in Dorchester, and I got to say, guys, gorgeous. Gorgeous set. But I went up and looked at Masters Sunday, which is the World Championship of Golf. Mm-hmm. Okay? Biggest day in golf. That did a 7.95. So basically, yesterday's game was like Masters Sunday. Has Masters Sunday arrived? Is that a real sport? Oh, is that a real endeavor?
Yeah, yeah.
So why do we keep asking if soccer's arrived or not?
Because people hate soccer.
So, okay. Now that's it. It's exact. Thank you, Hook. You answered it. Because people hate soccer with a visceral sort of emotional state, right? It's hatred. But to ask whether it's arrived or not is kind of silly, because if it does what it does on Masters Sunday, and the U.S. wasn't anywhere near this tournament, never mind in the game. If the U.S. were in this game, oh brother,
oh yeah.
And oh, by the way, that 7.89 I gave you again, this is just Boston, so I don't know what the national number was, but the Boston number, that does not include the Telemundo or Univision, whoever had the Spanish language rights. I don't even know, so that's not even including that number. And I can tell you, as you know, that 7.89 does not include the bars and like, and you know how most people consume this game. I mean, I saw it with 200 people in a bar, restaurant, et cetera, right?
Like, I watched it with 10 people. But again, it's like my entire generation, everybody, all my friends into the World Cup, even though the U.S. wasn't into it. For my generation, Mike, soccer arrived a long time ago. We're the generation that played the sport. You know, growing up, I don't know if you guys did. We did.
No,
soccer is huge for us. It is.
Soccer's always been daycare. It's always been. Kids have always played. So when I was a kid, it was huge. It's always been. That's always what it's been. But to ask if it's arrived is just sort of silly. It's there. It's what a big golf tournament. And again, the U.S. was nowhere near this game. Never mind the tournament. Nowhere near. And it does what a Masters Sunday did.
And I think
it's 7-1 versus the World Championship of Tennis. So, you know, if soccer hasn't arrived, then a lot of things haven't either.
And I think people are watching the Premier League the same they would some random golf tournament. Like, those numbers are probably pretty close.
You know what? McCarthy, why don't you get on that next? Why don't you Google that? I think soccer's already beating the crap out of hockey. So if we treat hockey like a real sport, that's all I'm saying. There's your Soccer Minute. I won't do it again. I promise. No commercials. 90-second update from McCarthy, then right back to your phones.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studio. Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.